The miracle of Christmas is that God showed up. You know, as I was preparing for this service, I was just thinking about the miracle of Christmas, and the Lord gave me a gift. He gave me this poem, and I want to share it with you. I'm not a poem writer, but I want to share this with you. I was just ministered to as I was thinking about what Christ did for us and what the true meaning of Christmas is. And as I was overwhelmed by just the reality of Christmas and what it means to me, this is what came from that. The miracle of Christmas. The story is true. He did not come to condemn me or you. He did not come to destroy or accuse. He came for us to hear the good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The news that came for all to hear is that salvation has come, salvation is here. The miracle of Christmas, the story is true. He did not come to condemn me or you. He did not come to destroy or accuse. He came for us to hear this good news. And his name shall be called Jesus. For he will deliver his people from their sins. Oh, that enemy, sin. Its wages is death. But God, he came with remedy to give us his rest. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more bondage, no more stain. His precious blood, oh, what a flow that makes believers white as snow. The miracle of Christmas, the story is true. He did not come to condemn me or you. He did not come to destroy or accuse. He came for us to give us life brand new. Now, the miracle of Christmas, so profound and so true, is this, that our Emmanuel would dwell in me or you. That is a profound thought. The fullness of the Christmas experience is that God, the divine Christ, would come and dwell inside of those who believe. Jesus, he said this in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This morning, I want to talk to you about the gift within. And there are three things that the gift within, the miracle of Christmas, reminds me of. The first one is that we are never alone. Jesus said, for those of us who believe and keep his word, he will come and make his home in us. For most of us here, that's already happened. And remember that glorious day? What a glorious day it was when the reality of the presence of God hit us in such a profound way that our lives were changed. It's as if a light switch turned on inside. Before you were in darkness, but when you turned to Christ, the light came on. And you experienced the divine influence within your heart and within your mind. And you knew from that moment, God was with you. You know, the announcement from the angel in the gospel account, one of the things that was said was that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And what a glorious thing to be reminded of. That we are never, ever alone. Some of the last words of Jesus were this, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, Christmas reminds me that God is with me, that He is in us. And for that, we can celebrate and thank God for sending His Savior, something that happened 2,000 years plus ago. Jesus came. But not only did He come and step foot, not only did He step out of eternity and step into time and come in a humble fashion, He put Himself in the hands of His own creation as a baby, a child, a helpless, dependent. That is amazing. He grew up in this cold and dark world. Don't get me wrong, the world can be a blessing, but there are so many burdens, aren't there? Let's face it, life is not easy. Life can be very, very difficult and can scar you so deep, can hurt you so deep. Life can be hard. But Jesus came to set us free. He lived on this earth 33 years, and in His 30th year, He began His public ministry, teaching about the things of the eternal kingdom and providing for us promises and hope of a better day. And His teachings were substantiated by His miracles. A man that has had such an impact on the world that there has been no other man in all of our history that has impacted this world and has left such an impression. And the reason is because He is the God-man. Well, He came, He died on the cross for our sins, and He rose again from the grave, and He ascended into heaven. But the miracle, the greatest experience of Christmas, is that He, through faith, would come and His Spirit would take residency inside of us. That is amazing. And for those of you who perhaps you're feeling alone, you're feeling like you have no one, that is not true. Christ is with you.
That's right.
And He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are never alone. The second thing that the miracle of Christmas reminds me of is that there is a glorious transformation that awaits us who believe. You could look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. Paul says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, He is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit who gives life, because of righteousness, and that is to say it this way, we have received eternal life through faith in Christ. The Spirit has come and taken residency inside of us because of our faith in Christ and because of the righteousness of Christ, because of what Christ did on the cross. He says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. There is a transformation that awaits us. One day, as I read or as I shared earlier, there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. There will be no more bondage. There will be no more stain. All the things of this world, all the things of old will be wiped away, and He will make all things new. And I cannot wait for that glorious day. This is time. It's temporal. But eternity awaits. And all of us have that appointment with death. But those of us who've put faith in Christ, we have the promise that this body of corruption will be transformed and put on incorruption. This mortal body will be transformed and put on immortality. And for all of eternity, we will be in the presence of Christ who came, the Savior who came on such a wonderful rescue mission to deliver us from the bondage of sin. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The third thing, and the final thing that the miracle of Christmas reminds me of, is that our future is secure. Our eternal future is secure. I draw your attention to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 27. Paul the Apostle, he had a profound experience with Christ. And his life was radically changed. He was an unbeliever. He actually was anti-Christ. He was against the ministry of Christ. And he gave his life for a season to persecuting followers of Christ. But in one of his endeavors to imprison believers, Christ appeared to him after Christ's resurrection. And he spoke to Paul and he said, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus took Paul's persecution against his church very, very personal. And Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" Paul had a profound experience that changed his life radically. And then he became a minister of the one he was against. And he writes, "I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God," or the command that God had given him, that he would be an ambassador to spread the gospel to the Gentile world. If you're not a Jew, then you are a Gentile. And he talks about a mystery. In verse 26, he says, "The mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints." To them, his saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This was a mystery. In the old covenant, not understood. But once Christ came, and then there were many that believed in Christ, and Christ had established his church, and then he gave commission to his apostles to go out and to preach the gospel. The mystery became unveiled. And that mystery was that Christ would come and dwell in you. And that is the hope. Christ is our confidence. Christ dwelling in us reminds us that one day we will share in his glory. That is a profound truth. And what a glorious thing for us as Christians that when Christmas time comes, we celebrate what he did. We can celebrate that we are never alone while we're waiting for that day. We can celebrate, and some of us celebrate more than others, that there's a glorious transformation that awaits us. I was complaining a little while ago about my hip. I had one hip replaced, and this other hip, oh, it just kills me. I'm not hip with that. Ta-doom, boom. But one day, I'm going to experience a transformation, and so are you who believe. A glorious transformation. But the greatest thing that I'm reminded of, knowing that Christ dwells in me, is that one day I'm going to see him in all of his glory, and I'm going to share in that glory. I can't even make sense of that. You ever see that commercial, and the guy goes like this? Poof. It's like mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. And it's so awesome. And forever and ever, for all of eternity, we are going to be with Christ in his glory and in his eternal kingdom. I can't wait for that day. But let me tell you this. I didn't always believe this. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And for some years, I grew up with a religious background, but as I started becoming a young adult and into the early adulthood, it got to a point where I rejected the whole thing about Christ. I didn't want anything to do with God. You know, something I noticed was that as I continued to live for my flesh, and we read just a few minutes ago how Paul makes a distinction between those who are in the flesh and those who are in the spirit. And he says that those who are not in the spirit do not belong to Christ. The flesh represents just the natural man, the unredeemed individual, the individual who has not responded to the gospel, who hasn't made a commitment to Christ, who hasn't fully received the word of God to the point where they make that commitment and the Spirit of God comes and takes residency inside of them. I had never experienced Christ coming and dwelling inside of me. The promise of Scripture, the Spirit coming and taking residency inside. And so what started to happen as I continue in this journey of life, trying to find meaning, trying to find my place in life, was I experienced such a great emptiness and a growing emptiness, a great void and a growing void, and nothing can fill that void. Pleasure can fill it. Money, material things, none of that could fill it. And the reason why is because that void, the only thing that can fill that void in the heart and the soul is a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And I went to Dallas, Texas. I was kind of running away from life here, my situations that I was in. And when I got out there, I have a brother, his name is Michael. He gave me a Bible. And I was hurting and I was empty inside and just inside. You couldn't see that on the outside, though. I wouldn't reveal that to people. And I had mixed feelings when he gave me that Bible. There was a part of me that was resistant. But I took it. I started to read it every night. And I didn't know then, but I know now that the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so I started to read the Scriptures and hear the Word of God. And it started to work in my heart and soften my heart towards God. Because I had gotten pretty hard. And I'll never forget one night, I don't remember what it was that I was reading, but it spoke to me. It spoke to me like never before. It wasn't just words on a page. They were words of life. And I felt an overwhelming sense of conviction. Before, when somebody would talk about God, I would feel more condemned. I would feel like I can't turn to God, especially after all these things that I've done. All of us have that bent towards doing evil, don't we? The thing is that we don't talk about it. But there is that bent in each one of us to do evil, and all of us are guilty of doing wrong. And we have a conscience. We know when we've done wrong. And we know that we've done things to offend God. And some of us, we have secrets inside of these vessels that we are embarrassed or ashamed to tell anyone, and yet we're carrying the guilt of our sin. The glorious good news of Christmas is that Christ came to deliver us from that. Well, I felt a conviction, and it was so strong, and I felt like, yes, I knew that the way I had lived my life, just rejecting God, was wrong, and And yet I felt the love of God, and as if God was saying, listen, I love you. I want to use you. I'll restore your life. You got to stop fighting me. You got to stop rejecting me and resisting me. I felt compassion. And I got on my knees, and the best that I could, I asked God to forgive me of my sins. And I'll tell you, from that day forward, it's been a perpetual Christmas. It really has been. I experienced that night the true and full meaning of Christmas. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That was the message that Paul preached. And I believe that God wants to give some of you an opportunity to experience the fullness of Christmas today. I'm not going to make you stand. I'm not going to make you come forward. I'm not going to make you do anything. This is very personal between you and Jesus. And what I want to do is I just want to take a moment. I want to ask all of us to bow our heads and our hearts. And I want to pray. And let me tell you, I was in a room in Dallas, Texas by myself. And I cried out to God for forgiveness. And right there is where he met me. And today he can meet you right where you are. You're here in this fellowship. But this is very personal between you and him. Do you want to experience the fullness of Christmas? You can. With all heads bowed and eyes closed. Listen, if you know that you're not right with the Lord, and there is an emptiness inside of you, and nothing's been able to fill that emptiness. The reason is, as I said, only God can fill that void. And the way that he does is through you exercising faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Today's a day for you to experience the true meaning of Christmas. And if you say, Pastor, I know that I don't have a right relationship with God, but I desire to turn to Christ. I want to turn away from my lifestyle and just trust that Jesus can help me and will help me. And I want the promise of God's Spirit to come and dwell inside of me. If that's you, I want to pray for you. And you from your heart, you just repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that you forgive me. I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I want to commit my life to you. I pray that you would come and take residency inside of me. I dedicate myself to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, I pray for all those who did make a commitment to you right now. Pray you bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, help them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to cause them to experience the reality of your presence, that they would know that they are never alone, that you are with them. That one day they're going to experience that transformation when they are clothed for eternity, and that they would know and sense in their spirit because of your spirit working in them through the truth of the gospel message, that their eternity is secure. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to close with this scripture. It's 1 John chapter 5. For those of you who made a commitment to Christ, listen, verse 11, 1 John 5, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not, the Son of God does not have life. And he says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Listen, you made a commitment to Christ. Now you can know you have eternal life. And the exhortation is to continue to believe and to trust in Christ. And after service, I would love to have the privilege of getting to meet you if you made a commitment to Christ. You don't have to be afraid of me. Look at me. I'm only like 5'6", 180 pounds. Hate to admit that, but true. 5'10", it's because I'm standing on steps. But in all seriousness, I would love to have the opportunity to talk to you, to pray with you, and to encourage you as to what the next steps are. Because it's not only important to make a commitment to Christ, but it's very important to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus loves you. God loves you. You are precious to Him, all of you. God loves you. And what a great joy it is that we can come and be reminded of the truth of Christmas and celebrate our Jesus who has given us eternal life. He is so awesome. And Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We give you all glory and honor, for there is none like you, holy in all your ways. And we celebrate your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.